Blog Talk Radio.
Talk to me. Talk to me.
Your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That was Little Willie John and a tune from way back in the day titled Talk to Me, and I just love that song from way back in the day. You know I'm from old school. Hope everybody's doing all right this Wednesday evening. We had a couple of thunderstorms yesterday, and as you guys may or may not know, I love thunderstorms. As long as the lightning isn't striking, as long as it's not striking anybody or hurting anybody, it's good to see the lightning as well, but the thunder, I'm just a freak for a thunderstorm. Well, today's weather was a little bit better than yesterday, and tomorrow it's going to be in the 50s. That's really going to be good because we need a little break from this heat wave, you know, because sometimes it gets so hot, you'd be so miserable till you don't even want to do anything. You know, you don't want to go out the house. You don't want to associate. You know, just want to lay up in the air conditioner and be cool, you know. But tonight we have a very special guest. It's Val Logan. He is a clairvoyant, a clairaudient, and a clairsentinel. He's King of Hearts and Keeper of the Secrets. He is an ordained minister with the Church of Divine Man, with the University Life Church, and with the Spirits Church, where he holds a Doctorate of Divinity. He is a certified hypnotherapist with the National Guide of Hypnotists, American Board of Hypnotherapy, and the National Federation of Neuro-Linguistic Programming. He is a relationship coach, healer, and spiritual counselor. He is a master of seeing, hearing, and feeling what most people do not. This sets him apart as a unique guide into the uncharted territory of conscious awareness. With your willingness, he will take you where most people have never gone before and help you to more easily remember who you really are. He has the ability to see deep into your heart and soul. hear the hidden feelings and behind your words and guide you. Deep inside, you have always known the truth. Now you can own it and live by it. It is now even more timely for that revelation. He spent time with the Rolling Thunder and American Indian Medicine Man. He has traveled to Indonesia to study Sabut and to Latina with Bapak. He worked with Fritz Perls, a Gestic therapist. He studied, radionics brought through form amplifiers, organ energy, earthing, and energy medicine. EFT, emotional freedom techniques. He has studied metaphysics, alchemy, and oh my goodness, we're going to have to ask him about those things when we get him on the line. But he has channeled many enlightened beings and listened to higher beings of light. He sparks telepathically with the archangels. He has taught as an advanced instructor with SAGE, Self-Actualization and Growth Exploitation Seminars. Good story about his experience with SAGE is how he met his wife-to-be. He married Jeanette, which has been a very good personal growth seminar in itself. He is a truth seeker and personal growth facilitator extraordinaire. So without further ado, we're going to get Van Logan on the line so we can get this interview going. Oh, and my co-host is here as well. Let me bring Jade on. Good evening, Jade. How are you, darling?
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic. Did you hear that bio on our
yes,
guest?
Yes, I cannot wait to talk to him. I'm so excited.
Well, all right. We're going to bring him on right now.
All right.
Good evening, Val. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Gail. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Mr.
You're more
Val.
Than welcome.
Hi there. This
That's
is a delicious friend. Opportunity.
Beautiful opportunity to talk to you, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, tell us a little bit about your growing up, where you grew up from, and a little bit so we can get, you know, to the meat of the conversation. But we really would like to know a little bit more about you before you even became all these different things that you embarked on.
Well, I grew up in San Jose, the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. It was actually prune orchards back then, before they had the Silicon Valley computer stuff. So I played in the orchards and ran into all kinds of people along the way and hung out around the palm trees on an old street called Dutard. And just kind of enjoyed running around in all the irrigation ponds and having a great old time. I went to school in Campbell High School. My dad was always winning the Whiskerino contest in the Old Settlers Day Parade, so I adopted that too. We could grow beards pretty easily and quickly. So that's sort of the background. I went into the military 3 years and over in Germany and saw that part of the world, came back alive.
That's good.
That was the time of Vietnam going on.
Right.
And so I came back, went to school, and found out that they weren't teaching what I wanted to learn. Mm. So I did get some degrees. It was just the only thing that I really liked was group dynamics. So when I walked into the class and they told me, you can sit down and form into groups and tell each other how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, really? People do this? And that was my first introduction to being able to share deeper levels of feelings. And I right away became the leader of the group because I knew how to do that. I didn't know that I knew it until I got into that class. That was the only mm-hmm. real class that had any value to me, because it helped me get in touch with my own feelings, and I learned to facilitate other people in getting in touch with their feelings. And after a while, I started hearing inside the words into the deeper levels of feeling. And when I point that out to people, they recognize it, and it helps them in their relationships, in their life, with their careers. I can hear the hidden messages that they are trying to communicate but don't necessarily know how because of the subconscious programming.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I help people get in touch with from a spiritual,
okay,
metaphysical point of view and from a emotional point of view. A lot of people have trouble with emotions because,
mm-hmm,
they weren't taught how to express themselves and be heard clearly without drama. So I help people sort out the drama into a genuine communication, internally with the critic, externally with other people. That's
okay,
pretty much, in essence, what I do.
Okay, so what did you become first, a clairvoyant, or do all these tie in together? The clairvoyant, the clairaudient?
They sort of tie in together.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to be clairvoyant by manifesting a group of people that were showing people how to do that. And the person that started the organization had been clairvoyant from childhood. So he was helping people learn how to do it.
Okay.
And I began to learn it right away.
Can you
to learn how to do psychometry. Do you know the term psychometry? It has two meanings. One is a testing they do in school. Psychometry is also picking up an object and reading the energy of the object. So I went to a course where they were doing that kind of thing, and the story is that there was three people in the class. I was one of the students, and there was one more student, and then there was the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher said, just say whatever comes into your mind when you hold an object. So the other student gave me a rock, and he knew the history, where it came from. I didn't. And I picked it up, and the energy was buzzing. I felt the energy. And so I saw this image in my forehead near the third eye, and it was a little cartoon caption of a Japanese guy sitting in meditation. And I'd seen the image before. It was in one of the meditation books that I had read, called Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. I got that image without even thinking about anything else, just holding the rock, right? So they said it's about a spiritual quest of some kind, and I was done. That was all I got. And the guy looked at me, the other student, and said, not bad. I said, what do you mean not bad? He said, well, I was over in India, and I picked up this rock where the Buddha used to give his talks. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
So then I went everywhere picking up objects and asking people around if they had rings or whatever it was, jewelry, anything of any kind they had, and they knew the history. I would read it and be usually 90% or 99% accurate, depending. But that's really where it all got started. And I learned clairvoyance later.
Right. When you said you would pick it up and you would read the object, what type of readings did you get from him?
Well, the objects usually would have to do with people and places, and that's what I would tune into. It was a frequency vibration, and I could tune into the vibration just by holding it in my hand. I learned to use that sensitivity that way.
And so what could you tell about the person once you was holding? Say, like, if you had my ring, and What could you tell about a person? Say, like, for instance, if you had my ring, I gave you my ring. What could you tell about me through that ring?
Probably I would tune into different experiences about the ring, where you had it, where you got it, who else had it, you had it, and where it was located, stuff like that. It would just kind of come to me. I would not know ahead of time exactly what was going to be showing up because it would come in pictures and feelings.
Mm-hmm. And this was the
clairvoyant. That's where it comes in to doing readings, learn how to do readings with the Berkeley Psychic Institute here in California,
mm-hmm,
and tuning into the energy. And I would see things and start to hear things. And it was just a wonderful world of introduction. Then I began to practice, I said, well, maybe I can help people get unstuck where they're stuck, blocked in their communication with themselves or with their energy. And so I did. I was able to do that with people. And that's why they wanted me to do the seminar with Sage, because I had this ability, the Sage Seminar Company, to really get in touch with what was going on. We had an experience in Saddlebrook, New Jersey, where, I mean, they had me flying all kinds of places, because it wasn't just me, but we had a group of us that were helping people get in touch with their deeper levels of feelings and what they wanted to do in their relationships and their careers and all kinds of things. And so we were there to help them. We were in Saddlebrook, New Jersey, in a hotel about 10 stories up, and we were going through some exercise with them, and we thought they were pretty good. And these people were like, what? What is this? Been there, done that, no big deal. What else have you got? And so they were like, well, they were having problems. So one of the founders came up to me and said, well, what are we going to do? And he was smiling. And he knew exactly what we were going to do. And I said, okay, give them to me. I'm hungry. So he stopped everything, put them all in front of me. And I got up in front of him and I said, this is a true story. I said, are you human beings? Do you feel anything? You could have heard a pin drop. And they knew I was serious. Not hurtful, just helpful. Because I was going to help them get in touch with their feelings more deeply. And that's exactly why they were there. They wanted that. They didn't know how to get there, but they wanted that. And so I said, okay, I'm available. Let's do it. So I started working with some people. And they had some real breakthroughs. And after we finished, we were all crying for joy, not pain, but joy. Because some of these people had been abused in childhood, and they had been holding on to this and protecting themselves and shutting themselves off, shutting down. So I helped with everybody else helping, because the whole room had people who were wanting this. The staff people, the founders, and myself, we all wanted it. It was a heartfelt situation. And they weren't doing it on purpose. They were just stuck. And so we helped get them unblocked. And it was great. It was wonderful. It was like, wow, this is what I'm here to do. And I was flying back 30,000 feet in the air, and I'm saying, yes! I almost stood up in the airplane yelling, but I didn't contain myself.
Wow.
But I was really happy, because this was valuable for them and for us, for everybody. And then I said, I've got it all. And then I said, whoops, I don't have it all. Well, this part I did. That was good. And the other part was, well, what about your relationship that you don't have? And I said, oh, okay, let's talk about that. This is my own internal dialogue, my self-critic. Well, this image of this woman came into my mind. I started thinking about it, and my critic jumps in, the ogre, comes in and says, forget about it. She's with somebody. You're going to get rejected. You'll get hurt. You'll shut down. I'm here to protect you. I said, wait a minute. And let's talk about this. Were you there in Saddlebrook, New Jersey, when these people wanted some help and got in touch with some things, and I helped them do that and turn things around in a good way? Okay, you're right. I said, well, guess what? We don't have anything to lose. What do we have to lose? So I shut my critic up, and he said, okay, I'm with you.
Wow.
Not easy to do when you have a critic inside. Anyway, so I was back in California, and invited this lady to come and eat dinner with me after one of the situations. She was trying out for a position in the Sage seminar. And we were talking, sitting, you know, having a nice time, dinner. And she said, are you okay? Because I was kind of quiet for a moment, a little pensive. And she said, I said, yeah. And I said, I'm good. She said, well, do you have everything you want? I said, no, I don't. She said, well, what do you want? I said, I want you in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her jaw dropped and her eyes got big around, and she started smiling and she started talking to me. And that's how it got started. These are the things that happen along the way when you get in touch with a good feeling about yourself, and then you have courage to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that kind of gives you my background in a lot of important ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the biggest things for me, is to attracting this woman into my life.
Oh, okay, so you attracted her and you got her, right?
What's that?
I said, you attracted her and you got her, right?
I did. That's how I did it. I actually wrote down a description of the kind of woman I wanted. It was a year or so before that, because I was in between relationships, and relationships weren't working for me. And so I just wrote it out, the description of what I wanted, the kind of woman I wanted. And then it put it away.
Did you have any pictures or anything? Did you have any kind of, sometimes they say when people do, like, a visual and they do a description or whatever, they may do, like, a picture that
they put
out of a magazine of a couple or
someone. Yeah, a vision board.
Did you
call that a life success plan or a vision board, so you visualize.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures and you put it on a board and you look at it every day and your subconscious kind of tracks into that and helps you attract it. Yeah, I didn't do the vision board, but I did the description.
Well, that worked for me. Because I've done vision boards, but I've also done booklets where I'll keep on my altar with pictures and images or something or goals.
Oh, yeah, it's all about the subconscious.
Yeah.
What I do is help people release the blocks, because sometimes we know what we want, but we have a hidden block that keeps us from it. And I help people recognize what that is and how to change it, because that's what I had to do before I was ready.
What are some of the
Because when I did the thing with the sage, and that was really doing what I have a really good ability for, and I felt confident because of that. I felt good about myself, and I know that that's what I'm here to do. And so then that gave me a more of a good feeling about myself, so then I could put myself out there more with people, which was good. And believe it or not, this is a true story still. We were together for a while, and I kept getting this energy of tell her what you wrote down. Tell her. I said, I couldn't understand why. Why did he do that? Tell her anyway. Okay. So I told her I had written down a description of the woman that I wanted, and I said, and you're it. She was smiling, and then she says, well, guess what? And she asked me again. She said, when did you do that? I said, 1987, but I don't remember the day or the month. And she said, well, right around that time, I was listening to a self-hypnosis tape, and it said, write down a description of your inner mate. I did it, and you're here. So she did the same thing that I did. In her own way.
Wow.
True story.
So that's
synergistic. Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly right.
That
so
is
we've
really
been
amazing.
Together since 1992. So we're going on strong.
Well, that's really good.
So sometimes
good.
You ask for what you want, you get it. You
Absolutely.
Have to grow into it too, though. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't always given right away, because we're not always ready for it, even though we are mentally ready. We may not be emotionally ready. That's why I help people release the blocks.
Do you know offhand right away when you talk to people what the blockages are that they have right away when it comes to their chakras or
Usually I do. However, the best way I find is what people recognize first. We go with what they're recognizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go from there, and then I add to it as we go along.
Okay.
And then we help process through those feelings so they get to a better place. And it isn't always overnight, but it's pretty magical lots of times.
Yes.
Like I was doing that with people in Sage, and we have a whole room full of people, and they'd watch what I was doing, they would hear the words, and they still didn't know where I was coming from or how it happened. They just knew that it worked.
Mm.
It's so like when you drive a car, you don't know how to put the motor in, and that you just turn on the ignition and it works. It's like kind of like that. But it's learnable, it's teachable, but it's also something you need to pay attention to so that you can be more genuine. And whatever is blocking, it can help release that.
So, what are some of the steps that you do? If you can just tell us, maybe some of the steps that you suggest to people, or ideas that you give to people when you're trying to teach, educate them to go home and do the same thing that you have taught them and be effective with it when they get home to continue down that path?
Yeah, good question. The first most important part of this, and I have a formula that I share with people. It's involved. But the very first thing, sort of like that guy was telling me, say the first thing that comes into your mind and you start the reading, that kind of thing, energetically, is to write down what you want, what kind of relationship you want. Just write it down and make it real. Because a lot of people, what they don't do is they don't make it real enough to believe, right? It needs to be believable to you, the person writing it down. So like, well, this person is going to have $1 billion and take me around the world, and they don't believe it. And why don't they believe it? It's because they've never experienced it before, and they know very few people, if anybody, that has experienced that kind of thing before. So then it's not believable. So you kind of have to start with what you really genuinely want, what your heart wants, the qualities, the characteristics of the person that you really want, similar values, similar lifestyle, similar way of approaching the world, because you want to share those common interests and values and characteristics with the person that you care about. And if that person has these characteristics, that person is going to care about you. So that's why it's important to be genuine, heartfelt, genuine. And it may not start that way.
That may be a reason why a lot of relationships don't work out, is because someone's expectations are far more than what they exceed.
Exactly. Expectations are a real killer. I expect, like, for example, if you're really kind, both of you, I can tell, your boys.
Oh, thank you.
And let's say
thank
I came on the phone and you said, well, Val, I expect you to walk on water right now, get a witness, get back to me. Otherwise, I won't have anything to do with you. Well, that was a start. Expectations kind of rob us of what I call expectancy. It's almost the same word, but it's looking forward to an experience, and that's what we want. We want to look forward to an experience. Mm-hmm. So you want to create it so you're looking forward to being with that kind of person, and making sure when you describe that person really wants to be with you,
mm-hmm.
right? So I have a formula for people to follow and to do that, and they can call me, we can set up a time to talk and see if they're really serious about it and committed, then we can go through that. People have had some really good results from that.
Okay.
Well, Val, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, okay? And we're going to talk about the clairaudience. We'll be right back.
All right.
You're listening to Bringing Sexy Back, right here on Delicious Talk Radio. There is no religion or politics spoken here, only delicious adult conversation. Audience participation is encouraged, so log in and create an account to engage in conversation in our chat room. Feel free to call in with your questions and comments at 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. And let's get this delicious talk conversation going.
Thank you.
Alrighty then, that's Diana Ross and the Supremes, Breathtaking Guy. And we're back. And I also have my other co-host on the line, Jadino. How are you, darling?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. We have our guest here this evening, Val Logan, and he's talking about clairvoyance and different things that relate to our seeing, feeling, and hearing. And it's quite a very interesting conversation. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to, you know, just jump on in. And the listener audience, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. And we're here with our guest this evening, Val Logan. Okay, now we spoke about your being clairvoyant. We're going to speak now about clairaudient, and that's the hearing of clairvoyance, right?
Yes, some people in the counseling field call it hearing with the third ear.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you explain
what
is the third ear?
Because it's intuitive. You can hear in the tones of a person's voice what they're actually saying. Because sometimes people will be saying words, but their energy is giving a whole different story.
Hmm.
Like somebody says, well, I love you, but you don't really hear the feeling in their voice, so it's not
right.
Really real.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I understand.
It's sort of like, here's a good example of, they do this in an improv exercise. It's called talking gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use a language, and you're not going to understand the language, but you will hear the feeling. For example, je wa wa wa. What feeling did you get? What feeling did you get?
I said, wow, what is going on? What is he saying?
What feeling did you get from that expression, those words?
Sort of a puzzling, you know, what's going on?
Right, so you were questioning it, but the energy was something like irritation, anger, frustration, something like that?
Yeah, it was like irritating, more or less irritating.
There you go, irritating.
Right.
Exactly, that's talking gibberish, but you understood the feeling even when you didn't understand the language. That's an example of it.
Oh,
for example, you can do this other way, you could say it like this. Which is, I hate you. But did you get the feeling that I hate you? No. You got a different feeling, a feeling of caring. But see, so the words were different than the feeling. So sometimes people don't know what they're holding on to in terms of their own energy. When they're trying to say one thing, they're actually saying all kinds of other things that they don't always realize. But they know they're stuck. They know, you know, this isn't me. This is my genuine self, but I'm blocked. So I can hear that.
That's
and help them sort it through.
When someone is lying to you, you can almost feel that they're not telling the truth, right?
Yes, yes. But a lot of times the people that work with me, they're not doing it on purpose. They're just stuck. Other people who are like manipulators and they don't really care about anybody
mm-hmm.
except themselves,
mm-hmm.
they don't work with me. So I don't get those kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, sometimes I have
so
that built in.
So the people who are stuck, what do you mean stuck?
Well, it's sort of like, I tried to get involved in a good relationship, but it didn't last. We didn't know how to talk to each other. We didn't resolve conflicts. I mean, it was good to start with, but then it fizzled out. Now we're no longer together, that kind of thing. They want to find out, well, what am I doing that I can change? So I tracked someone who really wants to work through his issues, if it's a woman, and wants to be with me so we can do this together kind of thing. So I help people do that by recognizing what's blocking them and what they're bringing to the table so they can shift that. And it's not just being nice, because that Gestalt therapist you were mentioning, Fritz Perls, he was talked about that. He says, I'm not in this world to please you. You're not in this world to please me. And when we find each other, it's beautiful. So that means genuine communication isn't always pleasing the other person, but it feels so much better. because people try to be so nice to each other when they don't really mean it. It's because they were taught to be nice, not because they're choosing to be friendly. That's what they were programmed and brainwashed to believe they have to be. That leads me to a whole other aspect about this. There's something I came across lately which is really curious. It's called reverse speech. Have you heard of it? Reverse speech?
No, I haven't.
Well, reverse speech, I got curious about it because some people can talk backwards. They can talk forwards and backwards. Okay, and they call it reverse speech. And so they found that with children, depending on the age, 3 to 4, maybe 5, something like that, they're talking, but you can't understand them. And so they recorded the children talking that way and played it backwards. And they found that oftentimes those kids will be saying backwards what you hear them when they played it forwards, right?
They played it backwards and they spoke forward. That's why children can understand each other.
Right. It seems funny, but it looks like when we come into the world as children, we're speaking backwards to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn how to speak forward after a while.
Right, because I remember I remember when my children were small, and I used to always have to ask my daughter what my son had said because I couldn't understand him. And she would tell me exactly what he said, and that was really amazing to me because I didn't know what he was saying. You know, but now I understand, you know, children understand each other when they have those little gibberish conversations. They know exactly what they're saying to each other.
Yes. Yeah, and they found out that same way. I had a kid on YouTube was doing that same thing, that he would speak backwards and they'd record it and then he'd play it back and reverse it. And every word he said came out easy to understand. So it's like that's how we come in. So basically we're coming in to a world where we're taught it has to be done a certain way. And as children, we're so open, we're realizing, well, no, it doesn't have to be done a certain way. It's however creative we feel, that's how we can do it. But we lose track of that because we're programmed in some good ways and some other ways that aren't so good. And I help sort that out. I help people sort out what they're really saying. They can help them get in touch with it and then realize it, their conscious awareness, and then they can change what they've been doing once they realize what they can say for themselves and to themselves, which is a whole different world.
Wow, that is something.
Yeah, because we're programmed by our parents. They were programmed by their parents. It's not always bad, but it's not always good either. So there's nobody to blame. You just want to release the blocks so you can have more freedom and be heard and be understood and hear and understand.
Yeah.
That's what I do to help people that way.
Wow, that's
so that's kind of
an
example. So, your kids are probably speaking backwards and you didn't know it, and then your daughter or whoever it was, she could remember it, and so she understood it. Isn't that great?
because it was so amazing because he would be crying and he'd be saying, but I said, Gail, what is he saying? Then he would say it to her, and then she would tell me what he wanted. Oh, that's really amazing.
I know.
If
we're speaking of blocked language, blocking our feelings because we don't feel safe expressing them, then we're unhappy and we're trying to communicate and it's not working. The other person's not hearing. And so then we have problems. But when you learn how to hear and be honest and genuine, then... And not in a hurtful way. I mean in a way that's respectful of your own feelings and the other person, too. Then people get closer together because of that. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I help people do. Yeah.
Really,
does that explain
it?
That's good questions. Good answers.
Yeah, they are. We're going to take another little break, and we're going to be back, and we're going to talk about the Clara Sentinel, the feeling.
Okay,
so we'll be right back.
Listen up. I got to tell you about this beautiful author and publisher. Gail Delicious Johnson. Gail Delicious Johnson is proud to announce the publication of her new, revised issue of her latest suspenseful novel, Back to Zero. Read this riveting story of intrigue, conflict, love, and suspense. Follow the trail of abuse, secrets, lies, and love. And check it out. You can't just read the back of the book, because you have to prepare yourself for the mind-blowing, explosive ending. Order your personally autographed copy of Back to Zero by visiting www.jjpublishing.com. That's www.jayjaypublishing.com.
Thank you.
at Delicious Talk Radio, bringing sexy back. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and that was Babyface. I'm Never Keeping Secrets. Our special guest this evening, Val Logan, is a clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentinel. And we've discussed the clairvoyant, the clairaudient, and now we're going to discuss the clairsentinel, which is clair feeling. So with that being said, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. That's 646-652-2877. All right, Val, we are back, and we're going to discuss the feeling of clairvoyance.
Oh, yeah, but thank you. I really appreciate your music. It's really great. A lot of good feelings there.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sets the mood, sets the tone. It's really great.
Absolutely. It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so clairsentience is the ability to sense feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a good example is a mother listening to her child crying.
Mm-hmm.
A mother, and a father too sometimes, can tell by the way the child is crying exactly what he or she needs.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a cry of pick me up. Sometimes it's a cry of feed me. Sometimes it's a cry of had a bowel movement, change me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all different cries. And there's no language there. It's just the crying that tells you. It's the feelings that you recognize. And so you attune to that. And that's using your tuning fork. You're hearing and you're feeling, you're sensing what the feelings are. A lot of people will sense feelings and not know how to communicate about them. Some people will hear them and know how to communicate. Sometimes people will actually see the energy colors in the aura. And the pictures that are in the aura as well. So I can do all three of those kind of thing. Sometimes simultaneously.
Wow.
So the clairsentience is clear feeling. And when someone is expressing emotions, a lot of times they don't always know, their feelings are intense. And so I can tell, or their feelings aren't being communicated. And then I can validate the feelings by giving words to them. And then they recognize the truth when they pay attention or not. Like sometimes when I was doing the SAGE seminars, I would tell people, you know, this is what I recognize. And they're saying, no, that's not true. Right? And then everybody else in the room said, no, it is true. Then the person after a while would say, well, I guess you're right. I was just blocking it, so I didn't really perceive it. It didn't feel right, but after a while they realized it was right.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were used to shutting down on a feeling level. And when you shut yourself down emotionally or energetically, you're no longer feeling the feelings. It's what I call going down denial, the river in Egypt.
Wow.
Where you go down denial and you're just shut off from your feelings, you don't know you're feeling them.
Right.
And so when somebody says, well, here you are, this is what you're feeling, I recognize it, they say, no, not true. They deny it. Then after a while, they pay attention, they say, well, actually, you're right. I wasn't able to notice that, but now that you pointed it out to me, yes, that is true. And so it's about getting to the truth in a kind way. It's not bludgeoning somebody over the head with their feelings. See, I was right, you're wrong. None of that. We don't do that.
Right. Well, a person really doesn't want that type of interjection anyway, you know. When you
exactly.
Speak, especially if a person knows that they're wrong, you know, it's best not to even mention it. You know, you could just say, well, you know, wish you better luck the next time or something, you know, like that. Because I know at times when I've been wrong, even though I can accept it, you know, but it doesn't feel really good when someone tells you, you know, I told you that was right. I told you were wrong. You know, it's
right,
other
exactly,
ways that you can say it, you know. But that's
how
it happens.
With kindness and understanding rather than criticism, right?
Right, right.
I remember there was Lake Tahoe is really a really unique and wonderful place. You know, it's bordering California and Nevada. And we go there every now and then with relatives. And we went there one day, and we were riding bicycles because it's really fun, riding on bike trails along the lake near there. And we parked the bikes, and we're getting ready to, you know, have a little snack kind of thing. And this little girl, about 10 years old, she comes in from the beach, and her mother said to her right away, she said, "What's wrong with you?" Right? And the little girl's in tears. And then she said, "Well, I told you not to go in the water and get your shoes all wet," kind of thing. And she was really just beating up on her, emotionally, not physically, but mentally and emotionally. And so I recognized that's what we do to ourselves. Sometimes parents do it that don't know any better. And then sometimes we do it to ourselves. We beat up on ourselves when we make a mistake, rather than being forgiving and understanding and learning from the experience.
Right.
And so that's kind of an example of that. So when you get in touch with a good connection and good feelings, the things you offer for feedback are kind. They can be uncomfortable and vulnerable, but that is usually vulnerable in a good way. It's not the vulnerability where you're being hurt or hurting yourself.
Right.
It's vulnerability in, oh, that was something I didn't know. That's great. I can learn from that. And it's a good vulnerability. Like when you learn a new language or a new skill, it's vulnerable because you're learning. And then if someone says a critical word, or even if you do it to yourself, it shuts you down. You start to protect yourself rather than open yourself up. So then we learn boundaries. We learn to give ourselves boundaries and each other too. And sort of like, don't want you putting me down, but I do want your feedback. I want it kindly so we can help each other kind of thing. And that's a boundary, and it's a good one. It's not like don't tell me only nice things. Don't tell me only negative things. Give me genuine feedback. I'll learn from it. I'll grow from it. And I'll be willing to give that back to you as well. So it's a kindness. It's a gesture of love. It's what I call tough love, but not
hurtful. What
about
when people say the truth hurts? What about in situations like that when, you know, you may want to tell your girlfriend, well, you know, that dress really doesn't do anything for you, you know, it's too tight,
right.
You know,
right.
And their feelings are hurt, you know. So
right.
In a situation like that,
good
you
question.
Know, how is that handled, you know, with kid gloves? Because, you know, you love your girlfriend and you really don't want her to
right.
go out looking,
right.
you know, a hot mess. But by the same
right.
token, her feelings are hurt.
Exactly. Well, the whole idea is to be genuine and say, do you want me to lie to you? Do you want me to tell you the truth in a kind way? Then she can decide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then she knows you care about her.
Truth.
Yeah. She knows you care about her.
You're
not doing it maliciously.
You answer the question. You can't say,
what was that?
Tell me. I don't believe in. I like kids, sir. My mind is like a child. I don't know if I should be bragging on that, but basically, if you ask me a question, I just spit it out. I don't have time to figure out how you receive it because you asked me. So if you look fat in a dress and you ask me, do you look fat in a dress? I'm going to say, yeah, you look fat in that dress. You shouldn't get your feelings hurt.
See,
really
the way you said it wasn't hurtful right then,
right,
just now.
But some people do get offended, but really most people that ask you do they look fat and something, they already know, they just want confirmation. So I try to hurt
exactly.
them as fast as possible.
That's right. Exactly right. So you're just giving them confirmation kindly. You're not saying,
right.
okay, I'll just tell her what she wants to hear because then she doesn't trust you after a while. You don't tell me tell me the truth. But if you tell her the truth in a kind, gentle way, then she learns to respect and value you and trust you.
Right.
Some people just say they won't ask them, so that's cool, too. But, you know, I, like you said, I don't go out to offend people or hurt their feelings, but I'm not going to sit there and it ain't my character to tell you something, to smooth something over for you that you know you don't really want to answer anyway. And some friends do that, and they resent them for it. They're like, she said he ain't going to be fired into the North. And, you know, that's why I'm like, yeah, you should have took me with you. I'd say like $40.
Exactly. It's all about the language. When you say, so you don't want me to lie to you because you want to be able to trust me, and I'm not going to lie to you, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. So if you hurt your feelings, you're doing it to you, not me, because I'm just being honest and caring, right?
Yeah.
And then the person would get over the hurt feelings. because like he said, they're looking for, they suspect that it doesn't really look that good anyway, but they do want some validation and support, right?
Some women will get mad, though, even still, even if they're asking that question, some will get mad because
so if the person
they don't
gets
expect
mad,
you, they don't expect you to be brutally honest.
Right. So here's the deal. So if you say, okay, you don't want me to be brutally honest, right? So how, in what way do you want me to be honest? Right? Because I'm not going to lie to you. So you don't mean me to say, don't say anything? Well, how do you want it? See, then you're asking the person. Right?
I hear you tell people
that
don't
gives
ask
them the opportunity to, however they're going to accept it, however you're giving them the opportunity to let you express to them the way they want to hear it.
Exactly. This leads to another thing that we're talking about. It's really good because you're not trying to hurt somebody's feeling. But if they're hurting their own feelings, what do you do about that? And you say, well, you're being too hard on yourself. You really look good. You're a little fat for that dress, but it still looks nice on you. Or you can change. It's up to you. I'm here for you. That type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's still kind, but it's still the truth, right?
Right.
Then the person can decide on her own if that's, you know, if she wants to change it or it's going to be okay or what, right? She's a part of the decision, right? So then it starts to be workable and honest rather than, oh, yes, dear, everything's perfect, right? Because you don't want to do that. But at the same time, you don't want to be hurtful. So, because we're all vulnerable about different things. Me, I'm not into shopping so much, but my wife is, and she comes in handy with that because I'm a klutz as far as shopping stuff and haven't got the patience. But she is, and she supports me that way, and I'm learning, so it's good. So here's another thing that's coming up. I think it'd be really good, and I probably need to tell people how to get a hold of me as well.
Right,
is that okay to do that? Or
sure, because we are getting to the closing of the show, so you can let everybody know how they can get in touch with you. And
I'll do that, and then I'll finish up here. But want to get a hold of me, my website is fulfillingrelationships.com. That's FULFILLING, relationships.com. And then my phone number is 707-681-9707. 707-681-9707. So we can go from there. I give a free consultation to start with, and then we can decide if it's going to work. We'll go further. But here's another thing that can be helpful for people. One thing is get clear about what you want and write it down, okay? Let's say you have a conflict with somebody, a friend, a relative, a spouse, somebody you're dating. Whatever it is, there's a conflict, okay? So then that's an opportunity to do what's called problem solving, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a whole formula about it, but I'm just going to give you a little bit of the gist. The first thing is very similar to what we do about when you want to manifest a good partner in your life. You write down a description of that person, qualities, characteristics, that kind of thing. Well, it's similar except you see a problem. There's a conflict, and you say, okay, I'm going to write down my description of the problem. And then you ask the other person. It doesn't matter if that person is 3 years old or 95 years old. They'll have their own idea of the problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you write down, if they can't write, you write down their idea of the problem. So you're starting to share right away. You're starting to cooperate. That other person sees, has an idea of it, you have an idea of it, and you write it down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next step is, and you don't criticize each other's ideas of how they see the problem. Everybody has a different angle of seeing it, right? So then you say, okay, we're going to brainstorm. We're going to try to find a solution. So here's my idea of a solution, and you write that down.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other person says, well, here's my idea of a solution, and you write that down. You keep doing that for a while. You might come up with 10 or 20 possible solutions, But you're both doing it. And if you do that with a child or a teenager, they really like it. Because guess what? They're a part of it then. It's not just dictating to them what they have to do. It's like, okay, here's a good solution. No, that's not a good one. And a lot of times you throw out the ones that aren't any good, and you narrow it down to one or two that looks like it might work for both people. Both people, right? And then you test it out. There's a whole formula, but that's, in essence, what it's about. But notice how it includes everybody. And that can be more than one person, but a lot of times it's two people. You see how that includes people? Like
yes.
That same thing with the lady in the dress. She looks fat in the dress. Want her to be a part of the solution. And you have to be truthful and say, okay, what do you see would be a good solution? You suspected something. I agree. That's the way it is. Do we need to do something else about it? She can be a part of it. And then she's not in pain and anger because she's a part of the solution along with you. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm. Sounded pretty good to
easier
me.
Easier said than done, huh?
Yeah.
When people get upset, yeah. It's not that easy to do. But when you can work with it that way for a while, it starts to show everybody concern that they can be a part of the solution. Because if you're not a part of the solution, guess what? You're part of the problem.
That's the truth. That is the
yeah.
truth. Well, Val, we've come to the end of the show, and we're definitely going to have you come back because I know there's so much more you'd like to discuss and so much more we'd like to hear. Let people know once again how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, my website is www.fulfillingrelationships.com, FULFILLING, and then relationships, plural.com. And my email is val@fulfillingrelationships.com, same except Val at. And then my phone number is 707-681-9707.
Ooh,
and I'm here in California, so in the Bay Area.
Okay.
So I can
so how's
do
the
anything
weather out
that,
here?
Oh, it's been kind of nice. It's been warm and windy, but it's not cold and it's not real hot. So it's about kind of in between.
Well, that's
it's
good.
A drought out here, though, so we've got to watch the water. But, otherwise, it's pretty nice where we are. So I heard you saying at the beginning it was kind of hot there. It was a heat wave back there. Is it, you're in Maryland, right?
Yeah. It's going to be kind of cool.
I've been out there
tomorrow.
A few times. Seeing
which
clients
really
in the area, in Baltimore area.
Oh, okay. That's where Jay lives, up in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to give you a great
big
round.
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful.
Yes,
we're going to give you a great big round of applause for coming in.
Yeah, thanks again. It's really enjoyable. Yeah, you're warm-hearted and it's fun.
That's for you, Val. We definitely appreciate you coming on tonight. And like I said, you have to come back. This is your second home. And, you know, I know there's so much more that you could talk about. But, you know, we've run out of time. And, you know, feel free to come back anytime with, you know, more information because I'm quite sure our listeners took a lot from this episode. And, you know, maybe they'll even apply some of the things that you mentioned, you know, because I certainly, you know, learned a few things tonight, and I do appreciate you for coming on.
I appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really
so
great.
So, Jade,
Jade
or DeGino, do you have any closing remarks for Val?
I just want to say just keep doing what you're doing. We enjoyed you on the show this evening. You have a positive message and a really beautiful concept that you offer people and, to help them. And so I want to thank you for that.
Okay,
well,
DeGino.
Thank you for
you
having
any...
me. I really enjoyed the experience.
Do you have any closing remarks, DeGino?
Yeah, I was saying, like, a lot of his techniques, you know, as far as seeing or experience or hearing what you're, what the other person's going through, I think that can be applied, like certain anger issues, like when you're in anger management, they try to teach you a similar what he's talking about, but he said it in a different way that I can understand better for me. Because, like,
thank you.
You know,
appreciate it.
People can, if you talk to a person, you can tell they're upset. Especially if you're in the street, when you're talking to somebody and you say certain things, you already know it's escalating to a certain level based on their they movement or their sound. And that's what I go on for. So he admitted
that. There you go.
Like
we all have the
crying.
Intuition. It's just working
right.
And making it real. Thank
so
you.
So that can actually help me inflict that upon myself to try to stop me before I go too far. So
there
that,
you go.
I took that from that whole thing.
Good.
So I might have an argument with myself at some point, but I'm going to be all right.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
it's been really a joy, and setting up the space here is really, really nice because we want to have this connection with people of like-minded, kind-hearted people, and that brings us joy and loving self-respect with each other. It's just so cool. Thank you for doing what you're doing, too. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, Jade, you want to let everybody know what you do on Blog Talk Radio and what you're about before we close out the show?
Yes. They can join. You can join Erotic Talk Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a group page that is on Facebook, and it's called Erotic Talk Radio, so you can request to get into that group and check us out. And we also have a group page called WTLC Talk Radio, also on Facebook, and that has a bunch of different radio shows and links. So check us out. Thanks so much.
Okay, Jadino.
Thanks again.
Yeah, I'm like Jadino Blasco, everything art. I'm also ready to launch my Animal segment. T-shirts, anything you can think of that you can put art on, I'm great to do it. I'm also great to do a feature film, a full feature film in special effects, which is like a dream come true for me because I get to do everything this time.
All righty, then.
I'm also acting it, so that's going to be interesting to have to do both sides of the plate again, which is doable. You just have to do your plan, so...
Right.
That's
that wouldn't
right
be
now.
The movie boss, would it?
It might happen to be the movie boss.
Uh-oh. All right.
It just so happens to be the movie boss.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love projects that's positive, but, you know, like some, you know, we can do things as a people here, you know, that a lot of people are not doing, as long as you get the right flow or, like, the right kind of combination of people working with you.
Right.
And you can expand on that and take it past here. And that's what it's all about.
Well, all right then. So we're going to be looking out for that and a lot of things that Jadino does. He visits his website on Facebook. He's very talented when it comes to the graphics and pictures and, you know, different things that he just spoke of. And everybody knows that I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm an author, poet, speaker, ghostwriter. And my book, Back to Zero, I did a revision on it. You can go to my website and order that at jjpublishing.com. Is there anything else you need to know about me? You can just Google Gail Delicious Johnson because I just have so much going on. But Bringing Sexy Back, as you all know, is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but it's not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or to either of my co-hosts, that's Rhea, who's Rhea's out because she had death in the family, so she'll be back next week. But you can still email her. Her email address is RheaAlexis@yahoo.com. That's RheaAlexis@yahoo.com. And JadinoBlasco@gmail.com. That's J.DinoBlasco@gmail.com. And in the subject line, type topic or guest. We're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. And if the topic is real juicy, we're generally here for the full 2 hours of adult conversations. With that being said, the weekend is coming up. I wish everybody have a nice weekend. Don't drink and don't drive. If you drive and don't drink, I love talking to you guys, not about you. With that being said, everybody have a beautiful weekend. Love you guys. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Val.
Love you,
and Dad. Thank you, Dino. Everybody have
well,
a good
thank
night.
Thank you all. Thank you. Very good.
Good night.
Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
My mother got the best radio show on the internet.